Okay, I want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you, Dover, for the introduction. Thanks for everything.
And Ron, if you're speaking, 1 second. Must have dialed in on the, there we go. And welcome to the call, Ron. It's all yours.
Okay, so thank you again, Dover, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the call this evening. As you all know, we've got quite a world epidemic, and it's all over media, and everybody's going into mass hysteria about coronavirus or COVID-19. I want to calm and tamp that down a little bit, but I also want to caution everybody. I'm going to go into the call tonight, explain what a coronavirus is, because they are some of the more deadly because of the nature of the virus itself. So I first want to kind of just refresh everybody, calm everybody down, and I did this last week. I want everybody to keep this in perspective. 2019, 81,000 people died in America alone from the influenza, which, by the way, is a coronavirus. So it is deadly. It affects a lot of people, tens of thousands of people. And in fact, over the last 10 years, the last decade, 48,973 people die on average every single year from influenza. Now, we haven't even had anywhere near even 100 deaths yet in this country. So the hysteria and all this stuff, I mean, the stock market, it's getting back at China. There's a whole bunch of reasons why all this stuff is going on to the degree in which it's going on, this mass hysteria. And very little of it actually has to do with yours, mine, or anybody on this call's true potential of dying from this virus. So just keep that in mind and just calm down. I'm not going to go anywhere near what people are saying on TV and stuff and 6 feet space and all this other stuff and don't touch anybody, not even your own family members. That's ridiculous. So I just want to put that all into perspective for everybody. So the second thing is so what is a coronavirus? A corona is a viral organism that actually has tentacles, extensions, and that's easy to latch onto the human tissue. So it's a much more susceptible. You're going to get more highly contagious than the common normal influenza or the common cold or flu. But SARS, H1N1, Spanish flu, swine flu, these were all coronaviruses. And then, by the way, COVID-19, there's 19 coronavirus influenzas and flus that have been identified. So this isn't the only one, and it's not going to be the last one either. But that's what makes it so dangerous. It actually has extensions from the membrane itself, and that corona, the COVID-19, actually has a hook. And that's why this is actually turning out to be one of the more deadly ones for the people that actually do have the coronaviral infection. But it's still going to be remained. And there's literally thousands of people now that are dying worldwide. But again, you know, when you think about it, there's over 30 million Americans that get the cold and flu every year. And so out of all of that, you end up with about 81, 56, 63, 48,000 people dying every single year. That's not a real high percentage. In fact, it's a 0.0012, I think, or some 1.4, something like that. But there's three zeros in front of that. So it's a very, very, very small percentage. But yet one death, about 10,000, 81,000, that's going to affect a lot of people's lives one way or the other. But I just don't want everybody to go freaking out about it. Now, with that being said, and I think we're out of the silver now. I mean, I haven't even been able to fill all the orders that came in the last 48 hours. We're almost completely out of inventory in the entire company. And I say almost. I haven't even had time to really see where we're at with the inventory. I just stopped selling orders and all that other stuff till we get caught up on what we already have. So, but I want to explain something because the question was asked to me, what is the difference between the Purell hand sanitizer, if you will, and colloidal silver? And there's pretty big distinction. One, hand sanitizer has alcohol in it, which dries your hands. so it's not real good for your skin. That's why it evaporates out as you rub it on. And that's going to kill the virus. But it does do damage to your skin. There's other chemicals in that which aren't good for your skin. But if you have to weigh safety versus what little bit of damage to your tissues, I guess safety comes first. So that's the downside to hand sanitizer. Now, let me explain what colloidal silver does. One, colloidal silver is not going to cure you of the disease. That's the first thing. Jim Baker, the old pastor, just was put into prison for making that claim. And again, I just totally disagree with him or anybody that says something other than the immune system is going to cure you or prevent you or reverse the disease. It doesn't. Only your immune system can cure, prevent, or alleviate disease and illness from the human body. That's it. So let me go back and explain how colloidal silver works. First of all, you have so many different qualities of silver in the marketplace. Most of them are particle size. So you have a 10 parts per million, a 250 parts per million, a 500 parts per million. Those really aren't that effective. Those really aren't that effective as far as really good quality silvers, and that's one of the big problems in the marketplace of colloidal silvers. A true colloid has to be able to stay in suspension. It's small enough in size to be totally suspended in the solution that carries it, and you can create suspension agents for these larger particles that are really not small enough to stay in suspension on their own. And that's what over half of the colloidal silver industry does. They put in suspension agents. Well, those silvers are extremely poor quality, and they're really not going to be that effective at a colloidal silver doing what it should be able to do. So let me just explain the way ours is made for a lot of people that haven't heard this yet. Our silver is completely ionized. Now, what is an ion versus an angstrom versus a molecule versus whatever? An ion is the smallest form any molecule can be broken down to and still maintain the property of the element. So again, let me say that again. An ion is the smallest any element can be broken down to as far as size and still maintain the property of the element. If you go smaller than that, then you're going to go submolecular, and the molecule splits apart, and you no longer have the property of the molecule or element you were working with. It's something else. So ours is 100% ionized. In fact, there's over 9 billion single ion charged particles of silver per capful, 9 billion with a B, not million, billion. And so when we figure it all out, just so we get to register it correctly, ours has 10 parts per million when you go to registering it with the FDA. And 10 parts per million is the only parts per million ever studied in a clinical trial to determine the efficacy or the effectiveness of a silver product. So three parts is never done, 25 parts, 250, 500. There's no such thing as clinical or scientific testing data on any of that. The only one that's ever been registered and accepted by the FDA is 10 parts per million. Ours is 10 parts per million. And that's at the highest end of the most effective. And so just want everybody to understand. So how a colloidal silver interacts with a germ, a virus, a bacteria, a fungus, a mold, or anything like that. First of all those things have to be able to enter the cell in the human body and somehow attach it to itself once it does get entered. So what is silver, and most, almost all of those organisms, by the way, are anaerobic and negatively charged. They all have a negative charge. And colloidal silver has a very, very high particle positive charge if it's properly formed and produced right. So what happens is that, like I was saying, here's something that everybody should listen to. If you don't have our colloidal silver, get it from your wholesaler, from the internet, wherever you're going to get it from. Because this, the way it works on this COVID-19 virus is clean off your surface, and then you go ahead and get 6 ounces, which is 6 capfuls, of the lightning colloidal silver, and then you get 26 ounces of distilled water, and put both of those in a 32-ounce spray bottle with a fine mist and a stream mist. Put it on the fine mist so it just comes out in a real fine mist. And then what you do is you just shake it up and then start spraying. And spray everything that you would touch, sleep on, come in contact with, your shower heads, your bath, your toilet seats, your toilet paper, frames that they hold, your pillows, your bed, your couch. And just leave it on. Just spray it. You don't have to soak it, just a fine little mist, but leave it on the surface. Because if a virus did come and land on that surface, there's enough once it hits the surface, there's enough colloidal silver that dried now, and it's going to, once it's dried, it's going to stay in the pores of whether it's the glass, the countertop, the leather, wherever you sprayed it. So when a virus comes and lays on that surface, the silver is going to automatically attach to the viral organism. And now it's going to become clustered because it's not one or two ions. It's a whole bunch of silver particles that actually attach to that viral protein. Now what it does, it makes the protein way too big to enter the cell of the human body. So it has no way to be able to get into the cells of your body. And that is how effective colloidal silver is. There's never been an organism of an anaerobic nature that's ever been shown to be able to survive the environment of a properly produced colloidal silver product. It can't survive. You know, on TV, they're talking about now how it can survive 3 days on stainless steel and plastic. Well, that's okay. If you sprayed that surface with those silver ions, that would actually attach itself, and it would cluster. So it doesn't matter how long it's on the surface, it's clustered. So therefore, it cannot absorb into the human cell. And that's the way everybody should be thinking to protect themselves each and every single year, from influenza, coronavirus to this year, malaria, all of that stuff. That's how colloidal silver works. It actually attaches to the molecule, making it a cluster, and now it's too big to enter and attach to the cells of the human body. And so that's why it's such a great antiviral, anti-germicidal, antibacterial, antifungal, anti-mold, anti-everything you can think of practically. But again, I'm going to caution everybody, a lot of the products, in fact, way over half of the colloidal silver products in the marketplace are not going to be effective at all because they have suspension agents, they're not high charge, and they don't cluster well because they lack the charge because the particle size is too big. And so that's one thing I want to talk a little bit about, the silver. And then the other way is just build up your immune system. Everybody, this is crazy. You know, I just listened to Kirsten Fisher and her dad on Fox News just before I literally come running into the room from the warehouse where me and my wife are both working frantically the last 48 hours. And I realized, holy crap, at 6 o'clock, I got to get on a call. So that's why I was a little late getting on here. But one of the best things anybody can do is build your immune system. And I keep saying this every week. There's absolutely no reason why anybody on this phone call can't have a Hercules immune system in less than 6 to 9 months. And then it just takes very little bit just to maintain it. It doesn't take much. The hard part is to build it. So the first 6 months, you're going to double dose some products. You're going to be, you have to do everything right and really stay on top of it for at least 6 months. But after that, it takes very little bit to maintain it and stuff. And once you've built up and enlarged that immune system cells, nothing's going to bother you. And if it does, it's literally less than 12, 24 hours, not 10 days, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. And so that's what I really encourage everybody to start doing. Is it's much easier just to take and do a little bit of maintenance rather than get a disease and then try to heal yourself from something that potentially could kill you. So that's kind of what I wanted to just kind of open up and kind of talk with tonight. Because again, Corona, it's going nutso. And the other thing I want everybody to know, if you are Enriching Gift customers, and I'm assuming most people on here are, we almost have an empty warehouse of products. So it's going to be a lot of months before I'm able to get stuff back in stock. I am going to make sure that the internet is well supplied, at least for the next 2-3 months. But there's a shortage of raw materials all over the world. not only in the nutrition industry, but in the food industry. But with that being said, that's for most other countries. Here in America, we have, 1.3 billion gallons of raw milk in stock. They were going over frozen foods, this and that. We have billions of pounds of this stuff. So there is no shortage in America. That's what President Trump was trying to tell everybody. Here's what we have in stock right now today. So buy out, buy out, buy out. And I mean, when you start talking billions of pounds and billions of gallons and billions of even gallons or barrels of oil and stuff. You've seen the stock market today where that was down below $30. I can't remember when oil was below $30. So there's no shortage of anything. So relax. And I know the toilet paper right here in my hometown of Mile City, there is no toilet paper in any of the three major grocery stores. There's no toilet paper anywhere. And now people are going into restrooms and public businesses and stealing toilet paper out of the businesses. It's gotten that bad. But again, I just tell people, relax. It's going to be all okay. This isn't nearly as bad as what the media is making it out to be. It's not. They're way sensationalizing it to get ratings and everybody going here and there, and just they're creating such hysteria. It's just crazy nonsense. So just keep all this stuff in perspective. And there was one other thing I was trying to remember what I was going to talk about tonight, and it did have to do with the coronavirus, but I can't think of what it was. So anyways, Dover, that's what I was going to talk about tonight. I didn't really have a topic. Except for I did want to go into just a little bit again about the Sterilmax and explain how these glucosides, these very unique nutrients that are they're actually a side attached molecule to plant fats, which are called sterols. And there's three categories of sterols, plant fats. There's cytosterol, campesterol, and beta sterol. And we use the beta-cytosterol is the active ingredient in all of our sprouts. And that is the only one of the three. There's cyto, beta, and campa. Cyto-beta-sterol is the only one that actually has a glucoside. The other two fats don't have a glucoside. And a glucoside is a pre-sugar molecule. It's a pre-sugar substance. And that substance actually activates six different enzymes that control how large and how efficiently your immune system cells function. Those six enzymes carry out those two major factors functioning in all immune system cells. And that's what we have in the Sterilmax product, that glucoside in very, very high ratios. And you're going to hear about companies like Modicare, and there's a couple other ones that have glucosides out in the network marketing industry. Nobody has the ratios or concentrations that we have in our Sterilmax product, not even close. Even Modicare, which is medically distributed, they only have one glucoside for every 100 sterol molecules. Ours is a one-to-one ratio for the oilseed part, and the rest of it is 17 to 21 to 1. All the other ones that are out in the marketplace, minimum, are a 23 to a 27 to 1. And again, that's just the majority of their formulation. That's all they have to work with. Over 50% of our formula is one-to-one, one part glucoside to one part sterol. So our concentrations are anywhere between 50 to 250 times more potent than anybody else in the marketplace. So I just wanted to make sure everybody kind of knew a little bit about what Sterilmax does, how it does it, and what it does specifically for your immune system to create a Hercules in about 6 to 9 months. So again, don't ever let anybody tell you that they got something that's going to cure or prevent a disease or illness. They're lying through their teeth. The only thing that's going to prevent, cure, or alleviate any disease or illness from the human body is a human T lymphocyte, an eosinophil, a neutrophil, a basophil. It's some type of an immune system cell, and that can cure you of everything and anything that will potentially harm or kill you. That's a fact. So with that being said, Dover, I'm going to go ahead and open up the call tonight, see if we got any questions, comments, concerns, because I've got a lot of work I got to get back to doing. We still got at least the next 2 days just 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning till midnight every night. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the call for questions or comments, if you don't mind.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Awesome information. What I'll do is take us off lecture mode. So if you do have a question or a comment for Ron and you're muted out, then unmute your phone or hit star six if you've done that, and that will unmute you as well. So here we go. So who's got a question, Ronnie, or a comment?
Yeah, this is Ronnie from Texas.
Hey,
I got a question. I've heard you talk about before, when you take silver, it kind of offsets taking the probiotic. So during this time of this coronavirus, I'm taking.
I just don't recommend, because it has very, very strong antibacterial properties. As everybody knows, a probiotic is an aerobic or a good bacteria. Carries or creates its own oxygen, and it also eats up anaerobic bacteria, which is the bad bacteria. So it benefits the body in two ways. It'll help to increase oxygenation. It also destroys the harmful bacteria to the body. And so
okay,
I don't encourage anybody to use colloidal silver and probiotics at the same time. It's like going to your doctor and getting an antibiotic and then taking probiotics while you're taking an antibiotic. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's a good question, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
So during this time of this virus, would you which one would you suggest over the other?
I would absolutely say everybody should be using silver internally. Take a cap full a day. Half a cap in the morning, half a cap at night. Just drink it with water, or just drink it right out of the cap straight out of a tablespoon. And I'm not right now, if I had to choose, given the environment we're in, between gut health and good intestinal flora and risking a coronavirus, I think I'd just go ahead and let the GI tract do what it can until I can get through the season and this hysteria with the coronavirus thing. I'd be taking silver first. In fact, I do, actually. I haven't taken probiotics now in a couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You betcha. Great question, though. Anybody else have any questions? Comments? Anybody?
Steve. Yeah, this is Steve.
Yeah.
Also in Texas. I have another colloidal silver question for you. Would it be
okay.
an effective sanitizer if you went ahead and took some lotion or some oil and added colloidal silver to it? Would that still be effective?
It'll be very effective, but again, sanitizers, all sanitizers, especially that Purell brand where you wipe it on and it just kind of dries off as you move your hands and fingers for a couple minutes, that has a real high amounts of alcohol. Now, alcohol will usually destroy a virus and break it down on contact, but it also is going to dry the heck out of your hands. And there's also chemicals in there other than alcohol, stabilizer things. Those are going to soak into your skin, so that actually is long-term use on a real heavy use kind of can contaminate your skin, make it more irritable, and make it even crack.
Yeah. So to avoid that, if you just took a good quality, you know, organic or oil-based hand lotion and just added your
silver. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just put, just put a few capfuls of silver in with it and make it a little more greasy and a little more runny. But that's a great way to get it into your skin. But with that being said, a lot of oils, unless they actually really absorb deep in the skin, they're going to form an oily film, preventing and blocking the silver from actually getting into your pores. So I still think the best way to take the silver is do not put it with anything. Just like I said, take 6 ounces of silver, put it in 26 ounces of distilled water. Again, it's important to use distilled water because distilled water has zero minerals, zero. And a lot of times if you put silver in tap water or spring water, there's other minerals in there that actually have the opposite charge and it'll bind to each other, and then you got an ineffective formulation overall. So just use just the straight silver and distilled water, and then you shake it up and start spraying it on surfaces and let it dry. Do not wipe it off. Leave those silver ions on that surface. Eventually they'll be covered up with dust and this and that, so you're going to have to do it about every 2-3 days. Or twice a week is what I recommend. That's what we do in our house. And it's very effective. And I think that's one of the reasons why I never, ever get sick. I mean, I've got a great immune system. That's the main reason. But I don't have to worry about all this disinfectant stuff and Lysol and chemicals and all that other stuff. This stuff works great. It's very economical, too.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Hello, Ron. Roderick in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Just a follow-up to that sanitation question. With the silver and you spray it on your hands, how often do we need to replenish that? Just spray it once in the morning and then we're done for the day? Or is it kind of like...
No, I would say just a light mist in the morning, light mist in the noon. Anytime when you're going to go eating and stuff where you're actually using your hands a lot, whatever you're touching, it's going to come off on whatever surface you're touching and interacting with. So, for example, let's say you had a keyboard or a computer. Do not spray your keyboard, but as you're sitting there working with that and stuff, probably wouldn't hurt to do it maybe once every hour, 2 hours. But then again, think about where's that keyboard at? As long as that keyboard's at home, it's not going to get any more contaminated than the morning you started out with it. And as long as you put silver on your hands, those are actually going to be left on the keyboard itself because plastic is pretty porous. And it's real easy for these ions to just literally get in there and stay close to the surface. But like I said, eventually, if you leave it out overnight and if you've got a dusty home, you got your furnace running, there's a lot of particulates through the air, dust will settle on top of all that, and then you're kind of back where you started from. So if you take and blow off your keyboards, just keep in mind, I probably wouldn't hurt to do it 3-4 times a day. Just give it a little mist and just kind of go about your business.
Great. And last question, with respect to the coronavirus and the hard surfaces, I was unable to, in my short time of research, to find a definitive of surfaces that it like attaches to. Can you kind of go over that?
The COVID virus has got a hook, almost like a little fish hook. It's got a little hook at the end of it. So not only does it have actually tentacle extensions from the main body of the protein, but it's got little hooks, and that's what makes it so deadly and dangerous because it can really, and that's why it is so easily spread and so contagious because of that very nature. So, gosh, doggone. What was your question again, Roderick?
Which hard surfaces does it stick to? Plastic, cardboard?
It sticks to anything. And here, I just watched this literally sometime earlier this morning. They say now that it can actually survive without breaking down on stainless steel for up to 3 days, stainless steel and plastic for up to 3 days. And cardboard, it can only survive on there for about 24 hours. But think about all the packages that Amazon ships. All the people that get those home-delivered meals and Amazon packages and this and that, that can actually stay on there for 24 hours. So everybody's telling them, open your packages outdoors, not inside. Because if there's wind or breeze or anything else, or even throw your cardboard out in the garbage can, never bring it into the house. This is how crazy this nonsense is getting. I've got cardboard boxes that I just picked up today. In fact, I had over 50 master cases that we received the probiotics today. So these are just some of the crazy things that they're talking about on TV. Like I said, it can survive on plastic, and it's because of the pores. Stainless steel is very porous. It's not a sealed surface at all. It's a metal. So it's got lots of little micro pores in it. And so that the virus can actually just lay on that stuff, hide from outside elements, and that's why it survives for such a long time on that glass, even though it looks smooth. Unless you wax it or seal it with something, glass is very porous as well, just like metal. It looks smooth, but it has lots and lots of little pores and cracks and little pores in the surface. And so anything that's the more porous that the surface is, the longer it's going to be able to survive. And cardboard, 24 hours, you know, like I said, it's just, if you spray those surfaces with silver, it'll automatically cluster, and then it's way too big to enter the human body. So that's the way all that works.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep. Good question. Anybody else have any questions, comments, anybody?
Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to make sure I got this right. I want to confirm. You said 6 ounce of silver to 16 ounces of distilled water. Is that what you said?
No. 6 ounces of silver to 26 ounces. 26 and 6 equals 32. That's a 32-ounce sprayer that most people have. So it's 26 ounces of distilled water and 6 ounces of colloidal silver.
Okay. All right. I got that now.
Okay. All right.
I want to make sure I had that right, but I guess I didn't. But I have it now.
Yep. That's okay. Good thing to re-ask that, because everybody should be doing it right. Okay. There's a gentleman who's going to ask a question. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Ron. James here, Ron. How are you?
Hey, good.
Look, I wanted to ask you, I was actually going to have a guy on the line today, a friend of mine, but look, we couldn't be on the line, but and let me know if it's going to take too long with this, but basically he had a heart attack 7 years ago, had a stent, he's about 59 years old, and he's been on 40 milligrams of Atava, which is a Lipitor. He's been on 10 milligrams of Ezetimbe, a cholesterol drug. He's been on Remapril and 100 milligrams of aspirin. And he's sort of suffering at the moment. He's experienced a lot of muscular pain, and he's just not feeling great. He wants to do something about it, but he's just not sure which way to go.
Well, I would tell you, because it's lisinopril, that's actually a blood thinner. Yeah, and he's got the statin drug, and that's why his bones and his heart's kind of hurting, because that literally leaches and robs coenzyme Q10, and coenzyme Q10 is a very essential mineral for proper and healthy heart functioning. So there's some real nasty side effects associated with a lot of stuff he's doing. I would just get him on our enzymes. One, they'll thin the blood, and they'll replace all his blood thinners on a long-term use. But with that being said, do not stop your drugs cold turkey. You can't do that. You have to wean your way off of those very slowly. But now you said he had a heart attack. How long ago?
About 7 years ago.
7 years ago. So he's been on heart medication for a lot of years. And so you can't just stop those drugs. You have to start very, very slowly. And I'll be honest with you, you're probably looking at almost a year to year and a half in order to wean your way off of those safely. But in the time while you're doing that, slowly, slowly reducing that every 2-3 months, you can start taking these products, the enzymes, because they're natural blood thinners. All proteases naturally thin the blood. Your body produces a protease enzyme that controls the thickness and thinness of your own body's blood. So that's the first place to start. And then take lots of aloe and metabolic complete. Aloe gives your body the ability to reproduce cellularly much faster. So in order to heal, you have to be able to reproduce healthy cells to replace all the damaged ones that actually occurred as you had your heart attack. And then so your antioxidants, they would actually help to prevent heart disease and hardening of your arteries and even damage to the DNA of the body from free radicals that could actually create cancers and other issues, as well as those atherosclerosis or hardening of your arteries, hardening of your lower tissues in the chamber of your heart as well. So metabolic complete would be for that. And then, like I said, let me see, the enzymes, the Sterilmax, that's just really, really good, not so much for a heart attack. But then we have the heart algae. Heart algae is a really, really high antioxidant property product. So it's the enzymes, the metabolic complete, the heart algae, and the Aloace Max. Those would be the four products I'd be using for somebody that actually had a heart attack. Because one, you want to thin the blood. So you're going to get a lot of nutrients, a lot more nutrients from your meal when you start using the digestive enzyme, but you're also going to naturally thin the blood so it's not so thick. It's easier for your heart to circulate. Therefore, you're taking pressure away from the heart, and you're actually preventing that excessive pumping, that working of the heart that actually damages it and deteriorates it. So the enzymes would help with getting much higher nutrient absorption, as well as thinning the blood, take a little bit of that pressure off the heart. And then you have, like I said, then from there, you're going to go into the metabolic complete, which is a full-spectrum antioxidant, and the heart algae is the highest antioxidant that I have. And then the Aloace Max, and that's really what you want to use for coronary disease, if you will. And if you can't afford to throw in, do the coral calcium, because the calcium will alkalize your body. And if you alkalize, meaning highly oxygenated, and your body doesn't deteriorate in a highly oxygenated, in fact, that your body functions way, way better in a highly oxygenated pH as opposed to an acidic pH. So okay. That's what I would do for heart disease.
Okay. So given that he's got a stent, is there any you know, purpose of taking a statin drug? I mean, what would you
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So a statin drug is something that would inhibit your body's ability to produce its own cholesterol, and it also inhibits the absorption of cholesterol from your meal, your muscle tissue, and your meal. So again, yeah. LDL cholesterol can only accumulate into the internal body and to become plaque. Why? It has to first oxidize. If it cannot oxidize, it cannot harden. So now all of that LDL cholesterol just circulates with the blood. There is no risk to that. And LDL cholesterol is not this bad, ugly demon crap that the medical community wants to make it out to be. LDL cholesterol is what your body uses to convert LDL cholesterol into vitamin D3. So your body can now absorb and use calcium at the cellular level. Your body can absorb calcium if you put magnesium with it. That's the absorbing part. But just because it's in the blood doesn't mean that your body can use it cellularly. In order to carry calcium to the cell, you have to have a carrier. That's what vitamin D3 is. And vitamin D3 is only made from LDL cholesterol, not HDL. So you got to be really careful not to lower down your LDL cholesterol too much. Otherwise, your body's going to be starving for vitamin D, and it's going to go acidic. And because it can't use calcium. So again, what you really need to do is really pump up those antioxidants, and then also the sterols. If you're using Sterilmax to build your immune system, those exact same sterols, they'll actually increase in your blood, limiting the amount of space that your blood has to absorb LDL cholesterol. And your body won't make LDL cholesterol if it doesn't have the space in the blood to circulate it. So if you fill it up with plant sterols, which are the plant fats again, they're just like cholesterol, they're fat. But what you're doing when you start taking sterols, you're actually forcing the competition for LDL cholesterol for space in the blood. And so you can literally, if you're taking a plant sterol product over a period of 3 to 6 months, you can actually reduce your LDL levels naturally by as much as 67%. Not points, 67%. And plant sterols never, ever oxidize. They're just like your HDL, your good cholesterol. What makes HDL so good? Because it never, ever can solidify, ever. So it just circulates, and that's what makes it good. And LDL very fast, quickly oxidizes. And that's why it has such a risk and such a contributing factor to heart disease, atherosclerosis, dementia, plaque buildup in your arteries, your veins, and even in your brain cells. But we can slow that all down with two things. Start taking more sterols. And by the way, extra virgin coconut oil is a plant sterol. So start taking extra virgin coconut oil, tablespoon in the morning, tablespoon at night, and go get your cholesterol tested after about 3-4 months, and you're going to be amazed. Your HDL went way up and your LDL went way down. And that alone will help prevent you of further heart attacks and heart disease, because plaque cannot accumulate until it's solidified. And mostly of what plaque is, over 70% of plaque, is the substance itself, is oxidized LDL cholesterol. So what do antioxidants do? They slow way down and can even prevent the oxidation process. So that's the way to approach this whole thing with heart disease and how to prevent it, how to eliminate the risks, and even limit the risks of your body absorbing LDL and making its own.
Okay, thanks. That's great.
You betcha. Anybody else on the phone got a comment, question?
I have another question about viruses, particularly
yes.
This COVID-19. Have we determined, is there a temperature that the virus is destroyed? You've mentioned that a virus is not a living organism, that you can't really kill it, but you can't destroy them. So is there a temperature?
Let's just take one thing at a time, Steve. So how would you destroy a virus? You have to be able to break it apart. You break it down. That's how you destroy it. Now, with that being said, boy, you can go to Africa. They have the Ebola and all that stuff. They have temperatures of 130 degrees over there in the summertime, just like they do down in Australia, too. And right now, it's summertime down in Australia, or at least springtime, I think, or fall. Fall, they're opposite of us. We're heading into springtime. They just came out of their summer months. And when it's December and January here, our winter, it's peak of summer there. And they've got all kinds of different parts of that country that will hit 120, 125 degrees. And so they have this coronavirus stuff starting down there and affecting. So this whole notion that all of a sudden coronavirus is going to disappear here in America simply because we're going into the summer season, that is going to be false. And you mark my words, I'm going to prove everybody right. I'm going to prove myself right and everybody else wrong. That doesn't make any sense to me because you have the cases and stuff down in Australia right now. You have them over in the Middle East and Iran. Look at what's going on in Iran right now. And they don't really have a summer and a winter. They're just like Nigeria. They're right on the equator. It's 110, 120 degrees year-round, just like the Philippines. I mean, if you can find the Philippines a day under 95, you're doing good. That's January, February usually. And for the rest of the 8, 9, 10 months of the year, it's well over 109, 110. So this whole thing, it's just not adding up to a very well-educated guy like myself that's been all over the world, and there's just so much that doesn't make sense. And we're going to find out that it's going to be hell all through the summertime, too. Because this is a nasty one. This actually has that little kind of a hook kind of feature to it, to where it makes it extremely contagious. And it's not going to easily go away. And we already know that even though you get over the symptoms, you can actually be reinfected. It can come back. It can live and salvage itself inside your body. So, and that's because of that hook nature. But anyway, great question.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is very warm in a lot of climates. I was thinking more in terms of if you boil something, you know, say you have food or you clean a surface with, you know, high temperatures. But yeah, even just for the environment that we're living in, yeah, that makes sense that it may not be heat sensitive.
Right. I would still go back to the colloidal silver. Just get used to using it on a daily basis. Because the one thing that this whole corona thing and all this hysteria in the media is doing, it's really bringing about simple little ways to which you can protect yourself during cold and flu season, or if you're elderly and you're at high risk, even during spring and summer times. So it's just very easy to give a few sprays and fairly economical, too, when you start comparing it to gallons of Lysol and all that other stuff, or even gallons of bleach and that kind of thing. So
if you use colloidal silver, you said that that's clustering on it and preventing you from absorbing it. But if
correct.
You already have an infection, then you want to remove it. Does the colloidal silver then help to exclude
No, because it's already in a very, very, very dense place where you're not going to get a lot of clustering to it. But that's why I'm saying it doesn't hurt to take it internally. Because the one thing about viruses, when there's inflammation, it pushes it to the surface, and normally it'll start to circulate again. Because things swell, and when it swells, it's like a volcano pushes it out to the surface. And so if you do take a silver and stuff, a lot of times it can actually cluster to the virus and pull it out of the body, not make it absorbable again, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to understand how your body really deals with it. I mean, I've heard some other
Well, your immune system actually secretes enzymes along the virus and actually just digests it and breaks it down into a much smaller particle. Now it's just a simple protein, and you're either going to poop it out, pee it out, or sweat it out. That's how your immune system works.
Okay, so it just breaks it down further into smaller.
Yep, it just breaks it down enzymatically. Yep.
Because
as long as your cells have the freedom to function the way they're designed and the bloodstream's relatively clean, if you do have inflammation, it pushes it to the surface. Now the immune system cells can get to that surface, and they'll actually just dissolve the cell.
You know,
I've got a VHS video where my enzymes are actually dissolving a human cancer cell. The enzymes are, not your immune system. The enzymes can actually dissolve it. Because one of the fundamental features that happens when a cell becomes cancerous it actually deteriorates the enzyme-inhibiting protein marker on the cell membrane, which prevents the immune system from breaking down the human cell. So that's one of the characteristics of cancer, that protein actually breaks down very quickly when a cell starts to become cancerous. And as it replicates as a cancerous cell, it replicates without that inhibiting protein marker on the membrane. So as long as your blood's clean, your immune system should easily be able to get to that cell, identify it as a foreign invader because it has no enzyme inhibiting protein marker on the membrane. And your cell will usually break that down. And that's how your immune system gets rid of cancer in the body.
Yeah. Well, using various bodily enzymes to break things down kind of makes sense. But this also makes me kind of trying to understand the nature of just viruses in general. There's been a couple of sources I've been looking at. I'm not sure if this is accurate. Maybe you can address if this has any merit. There's a nutritionist. His name was Agnes von der Planitz. He said that a virus is the body's way of detoxifying cells, that once the cell becomes so toxic, the cell creates this solvent, which we call a virus, which then sort of, dissolves it. And then if you go further back...
Well, wait. You're saying the cell creates a viral protein?
Well, that it breaks down the RNA, DNA, and other proteins, and so it is a bunch of protein fragments, as you have stated in the past, and that this is a solvent that works to excrete the toxins that are in that cell. Normally you have detoxification pathways available, but when you become
right.
so toxic, your cell says, well, listen, that's not working. We have to take more drastic measures. Let's just create this solvent and just dump it out. Now, when that happens, you're going to feel like crap. You're going to have a flu that's going to have a lot of muscle pain and joint pain. And
oh, yeah. When you start purging toxins from the cell, you get a... Right. When you start purging toxins from the cell and they
right.
become circulating in the blood, you're going to have very, very large and highly reactive inflammation reactions to that foreign protein. Because remember, that was stored in the cell. It didn't circulate. And it got stored because your body couldn't metabolize or break it down to eliminate it.
Yeah. And that
so,
makes
yeah,
sense to
yeah.
me that it would be a massive, yep. Burden that you couldn't do. So that would be a Herxheimer effect there. But then also Dr. Thomas Cowan, he's a cardiologist of current day, he was referencing Steiner's work from, I guess, I'm not sure how long ago that was, but that basically the viruses are just the excretions of a toxic cell. And so for these people, they're saying that a virus is not an external foreign invader. Now, suppose you could get it from other people that are sloughing it off, but basically it's created within your body as a natural process. And I'm not quite sure.
Well, how do viruses get started in animals? Same thing. It's the same thing. You're right. It's not always an outside protein. Those are environmental factors. Yeah, they're floating around all the time and everything else, but how do these things get started? You're absolutely correct. A lot of them come from animals, and then they cross over into humans. And then humans are the ones that actually mutate them, and then they start breathing them back out, and that's the contagious part. It's complicated, but it's not real complicated, but it is complicated.
Ryan, here's one last part about that I'm trying to get it straight in my head. And you know what? Take this with a grain of salt, because this is something I heard from the doctor. Who knows if the information is correct or not. But back in 1918, the Boston Health Department was investigating how does this thing how is it contagious? They wanted to understand it. They were just getting a handle on what a virus is anyways from the late 1800s.
Right,
they didn't know
right.
too much about it. So what they did is an experiment. They took, a couple of hundred of flu patients and literally took their snot and injected it into healthy people, and nobody got sick. I mean, that sounds, I don't know about that. I mean, people
well, when you think about it, though, what's snot? Snot is,
I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, but what's snot? Snot is a mucus. A mucus surrounds an entire viral organism. So if it's surrounded by mucus, unless your immune system breaks the mucus down to free the protein, you wouldn't get it. That's why everybody gets a runny nose, because that's one of the ways your body can surround the protein and eliminate it. But you're blowing that into to. That's why I'm saying I'm not worried about shaking anybody's hands, even though they're wiping their nose and this and that. It's got mucus. Mucus is a barrier.
Okay. Well, anyways, that just kind of leads me with a whole different perspective that if viruses are basically just natural processes that our body creates, it's basically a solvent.
Correct. That's why you have so many mutative strains each and every year.
Yeah. And it's just like laundry detergent. You don't say, well, that's contagious. No, it's a solvent.
No. Right. Yeah. Good question. Good conversation, Steve. Anybody else have any last-minute comments for the call? I got to get back to my work here.
Hey, Ron.
And I know we got another call here in about 5-10 minutes.
Yep. So this is Dover. I wanted to just add in here, turn down the television here, and on the world news, West Coast time anyways, ABC News, the COVID-19 stability, and we were talking about surfaces earlier. I think it was Roderick who asked the question.
Yep.
But the source is the New England Journal of Medicine, and right here from David Muir on ABC News, the stability of the virus is 3 hours in the air, four hours on copper surfaces, 24 hours on cardboard, 2 to 3 days on plastic and stainless steel. So for whatever that's worth, that's what they're reporting on the news.
Yep, well, that's what I just was saying earlier in the call. You know, they got the big thing today about the stainless steel surface and plastic to last up to 3 days before it actually starts breaking down. Yeah.
Right.
So, colloidal silver doesn't break it down. It clusters it and making it unabsorbable because now the molecular structure is way, way, way too big.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yep.
Ron, you were saying that you're almost out of colloidal silver there. Do you have a date or any timeline as to when you might be getting some more in stock there?
Oh, man. No, I don't. And I was able to – I'll tell you guys, I'm not going to toot my horn too much here, but I want everybody to tell. As you all know, you know, I was worried about running out of this stuff, being completely out of it till 2021. I just called on the Steromax because we are going to be completely out. And my relationship is so good with my suppliers. They literally bumped somebody from Canada. I guess they didn't have such a great payment record and thing. And I just got enough sprouts to make another run, but it won't be here until the end of July. But that was a lot better than looking at 2021. So that's actually in process right now. I did that less than an hour before I came onto this call. Otherwise, I would be waiting until he said about mid-October is where he's backed up to. Integrity and honesty and treating people right goes a heck of a long ways when it comes down to being in a real, real bad pinch, I guess. So, and I just had that call just now. So we are going to run out of Steromax definitely within the next week or two if we haven't already run out of it as of tonight. Because like I said, we've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business, a whole year's worth in just the last 24 or 48 hours. And we've just got a room that's about a 28 by 15, 18, floor to the ceiling pack. Samantha, her skinny little body couldn't even get in and out of there. And all I'm looking at is an empty room right now. I've got maybe three different products that have one single row, four high and two deep to the wall. So, we aren't even done filling orders yet. We're not even close.
Hey, Ron.
So, yeah, go ahead.
So, like Sanj was saying, as far as the colloidal silver, what's the lead time on when you run out versus when you're going to get some more?
Well, that one depends on shipping. Two depends upon the silver supply, because again, we use 35 to 50 pound bricks of silver. So, assuming that we should be able to still get that and stuff, we're still looking at a minimum of about 3 months turnaround time.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and end the call because we got our other call coming up here. So I just want to say thank you to everybody, and I'll be on the call here in just a couple minutes.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye-bye.